Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to Flesh Wound Horror Live. Thanks for staying up late with us once again. We've got inmate 187304, the notorious 187, with us tonight, also known as Todd Loya. How it goes?
Wow, it's producer Todd. Come on, Dan.
Producer Todd. Well, you can't produce from the...
I can produce wherever. See, I could have been a dick and just said his last name, too.
Yeah, right?
My name is known.
But you know what, Dan? It's your birthday. I'll be nice the whole episode, even though technically... It is.
Yeah, hail... happy birthday, Dan.
Thank you, thank you. Well, it still is on your coast, so...
I know, unfortunately. Yeah,
it's all good. But yes, thank you. And also Mike Krueger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So we were having a debate.
Jesus, Dan.
We settled on Noomi Rapace that Dan, C-word from Lamb.
Okay, so, well, since Dan screwed up the easiest thing to do, here we go. Pugs?
That's my impersonation of Dan trying to figure out if the fucking camera's recording. Namaste, everybody. Pugs Dread. I'll be doing this... whenever I can to bring you my opinions of the movies, or I'll still write Todd and let him tell you what I think, my stupid-ass opinion or shenanigans I say about these movies. But thank you for checking in on me, and yeah. And I wanted to pop in for two reasons. One, to wish that dirty old man Dan a happy birthday. What a pervert, but what a gem. I'm glad he's in our lives and out of jail. And he's on the right path. So, Dan, happy birthday. And number two, Mr. Kendrick Ford. Thank you for following us, finding us, and subscribing. And we are extremely happy to comfort you during this terrible fucking time. That shit sucks. Our heartfelt condolences. And honestly, it makes us all happy that we can bring a little joy to you. And, yeah, so condolences. Sorry for your loss. And... fuck yeah to your brother, and fuck yeah to you. And, yeah, so I'll be back with these little videos when I can. So I'll see you in Disneyland.
Thank you, Pugs.
He's so well-spoken. So
yeah, and shout out Kendrick Ford. Glad that we're here for you in this dark time. Just went through some of that shit myself, and I understand what you're going through, man. Glad we can be a little bit of just something to comfort you during this shit, because I get it, it's tough. And happy pervert birthday, Dan.
Daily Ghost say Pugs has something better to do than this. Well, actually, I mean, he couldn't get the awesome jail webcam. He got busted for being black on Friday night, which in LA is a misdemeanor. So we'll hope we get out soon.
This is true. I've seen it happen.
Will be returning shortly. Yes. So whenever you're feeling down, just you know, you can watch us cutting promos on each other. It always helps ease things. So yeah, Kendrick, awesome, man. Thanks, by the way, for commenting. There you go.
Photos of earlier, us trying to get Dan together for the show.
That would be, what do you call it? During a funeral where you have like the big picture up. That I feel like will be mine.
Now it's happening.
It'll be mine.
Whatever. If we have an in memoriam Dan, if you carried in yourself, that's the picture that we're using.
Absolutely.
I want like the Freddie Blassie. I want to go like all out, like with the best stuff. He had like the best memoriam package, I think, agree, in wrestling. 100%,
but you're going to get one more like the Warrior. The Warrior's package, even though I don't like the Warrior, was actually decent. What was the last one? The Hall one. That one was so not good. But anyway, enough about that.
If I get like a bitch wife, she'll be like in charge of like the Flesh Wound for Kids, whatever charity you do.
Nah, we ain't gonna put up with that bitch.
Yeah, we're not. You're not replacing the Arbuckle Award either. So
that's messed up.
But
fuck. Well, damn. What the hell do we have tonight?
Well, yes, we do have movies to talk about, don't we? Our first one is called Motherly. and it's a brand new film from director Craig David Wallace. And if you don't know who that is, he actually was also a writer director, I believe, on Todd and the Book of Pure Evil, which fun little show. I don't know if anybody watched it, a little Canadian show well worth checking out. And in this, Kate and her daughter Beth live alone in an isolated farmhouse in the woods. But when Kate slowly begins to suspect that something sinister is happening, her motherly instincts are put to the test. All right, so motherly. So this is one of those movies where I feel like a lot of people are going to like it.
I don't mean to interject, but I know you've talked about this movie in the past, and I actually watched it because of you. But In the Sake of Vicious has a very similar premise, comes from Raven Banner as well, and has two of the same actors in it. When I was watching this movie, I was like, fuck, I just want to watch In the Sake of Vicious more, because like it just is more action-packed and it has like a lot similar going on. So watching this, like, I think if you haven't seen In the Sake of Vicious, you're gonna like this movie more. But if you've seen that movie before, it's more like a more interesting thing going on than what is going on in this movie. But go ahead. I didn't know. I thought that was where you were going.
No. But yeah, no, you're right. That a lot of the same talent. I think that's the better movie.
And setup too, though. Like there's very similar themes going on. It's a home invasion movie as well. And just when you get into the story, it is very similar in multiple ways. And then I'm just sitting there like, oh, In the Sake of Vicious was just a lot more entertaining. But this is still not bad, though.
No, it's very well made, and I feel like this is a movie a lot of people will like. If you watch a lot of horror movies, you're going to know what's up pretty damn fast, because it telegraphs that pretty early on who is, you know, who the heel is. And but yet it might still be fun for people to watch. This could be one of those cases where I just watched so many horror movies, it was very obvious they gave it all away. You know, but there's some suspense to be had. And this is a backhanded compliment, I suppose, in a way, but I could probably watch this with my mom and she would have a good time with it, you know, cause it's, you know, there's a little bit of violence and stuff, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not too hard.
Yeah. For the Sake of Vicious is more of like the hardcore version of the story, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. That one, not one to watch with mom. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was just perfectly fine. It's a one-time watch for me, but the acting was all fantastic. There is, there is one scene, simple, but fingernails. I always say that.
Oh, yeah.
Even the most seasoned gore hound will win with a fingernail coming out.
Fingernails or bare feet on glass or anything going into like toenails and shit. Like, yeah, that shit's always going to make you cringe no matter what.
Did you ever do bare feet on glass in a
deathmatch? No, that's one of the things I wouldn't do, because my feet are super sensitive. Like, fucking, no. I couldn't deal with that shit. And fun fact, Schlack told me he couldn't either, so I was like, if Schlack ain't going to do that shit, I ain't either.
Yeah, I feel like, man, I don't think I could finish a match. I think it would just be like, oh, shit.
There's this new chick in the deathmatch scene that gets these syringes stuck in her fucking feet and just nasty ass shit I've seen with like foot gore. And I'm like, props to you. Maybe you have a thing and do some OnlyFans on the side for that shit, but I'm a tough motherfucker. You can cut me open and have, you know, a 4-inch wound gashing out of my chest or something. But when it comes to feet, nah, that shit fucking hurts too much.
Ironically, we have feet trauma later.
Somewhere QT is crying. I'll just say that. No feet trauma.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, the acting is all top notch. I've read that some people were criticizing the girl in this, I think she was actually pretty authentic.
Which one? The little girl?
Yeah, the daughter. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought she was authentic.
Yeah, she was fine.
I didn't have any issues with her performance. I don't have a ton to say about it. I mean, you're going to figure out the mystery if you watch a lot of horror movies, within like 10 minutes or so, probably.
Yeah, no, I'll just tag in.
Yeah, go for it.
I've already said, like, In the Sake of Vicious is just a way more entertaining, action-packed, small, like, it's not exactly the same as the story, but it feels like with the setup with the home invasion and some of the, you know, same actors and stuff, just that movie feels more action-packed and more entertaining to me. But this isn't bad. It's definitely something, you know, like you already said, you could show your family and have a family movie night and everybody would be fine with it. And maybe some of the more seasoned horror vets won't get the twist. But yeah, it's pretty evident from the get-go, I at least think. But, you know, that could just because you and me, Dan, are very seasoned to watching like probably 300 plus horror movies a year. So
if you're paying attention, they give it away a few times.
Beginner's numbers, yeah. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But overall, I mean, it's an average watch. It's not anything I need to own or put in my collection, nor is it anything I'll probably ever rewatch. But it's not a bad way to kill, you know, what, 90 minutes or 80 minutes, whatever it was. And I do say, like, if you want something a little bit tamer for just, you know, a nightly watch, check this out. Also, I'll say, if you did like In the Sake of Vicious, this does have some of the similar premise and actors as well. So I would recommend it. But set your expectations low. Like, For the Sake of Vicious is nonstop action-packed, like, probably from 20 minutes on till the end of the movie. And this is much more of a slower burn mystery, you finding out what's going on, and then it kind of culminating into a final act. But still worth a watch for sure.
Yeah, it's also one for a date night. It won't get you in trouble, so you want to watch something with
Kruger disagrees strongly.
I just say fucking show him a Serbian film the first night and get fucking
Kruger
get to going.
I can't remember how it came up, but on Piz's stream that came up the other day, somehow movies that get you in trouble with girlfriends, and I did reference that a Serbian film
and Headless were the first two extreme horror movies that I showed my fiance on date night. And yeah, it worked out. I was like, we might as well fucking just get to the point. This is the shit I watch. So you're going to tolerate it or not. Let's not waste each other's time. And luckily I didn't. Big fan of Headless and the Serbian film. So two thumbs up there. But Todd, what about you? What did you think of Motherly?
You know, I don't know if I'm I didn't watch For the Sake of Vicious yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that going in, because I did like this. I do agree. I mean, pretty early on, you figure out the twist. Mm-hmm. If we call it that. But I mean, you figure it out pretty early on. But that said, I had fun with the ride. I thought the acting was great. Yeah, the fingernail trauma, that's the first thing I've been squeamish at. And I don't know how long. I was like, God. But, yeah, I think it's a fun way to kill, what was it, 80 minutes?
Yeah.
It's coming out on DVD May 3rd. So, I mean, you can pick it up at the Horror Collective's web? Yeah, the Horror Collective website. It is streaming on digital right now. The DVD has a Q&A. It recorded at the Blood in the Snow Film Festival. It has a commentary track. And yeah, so I did like it, and it's one I would pick up. I say give it a look. I mean, again, I didn't watch the other one, their other film, so
yeah.
I don't know if that would make a difference.
Yeah, the other one, like For the Sake of Vicious, it just, you know, this starts off as a home invasion movie, and so does that one. And then it just plays out like this is much more slowing, and then In the Sake of Vicious is
a smaller one.
Yeah, in the sake of vicious, like, I'm going to smash you in the face with a hammer for the next fucking 60 minutes and have a good time. And this is much more a serious, more grounded movie, I guess.
Right. Okay. Well, we got one more opinion to hear. And I didn't pre-watch any of these, so I don't even know what we're getting into.
That's not a good idea with bugs.
Oh, boy.
I know. Well, he knows better, and I don't know. We'll find out. Well, at least, yeah. Let's just go.
Motherly. I'm glad we got to see it. This was a good time. It was a little more violent than I expected, or gory, I should say, which shocked me, because I didn't expect any... And don't get me wrong, it's not like a bloodbath or anything, but, like, it delivers on the goods, I think, for the story it was telling. And the story is pretty rad. Taps into your primal instincts of protecting someone you love, and I'm always gonna, you know, that's an easy way to tug at the heartstrings. Yeah, this one's really good. I'd say check it out when you can, and you may see something coming if you've watched a lot of movies or like, you know, a lot of stories and stuff. But I don't think that took away from this. I was too invested. I mean, I kind of knew where it was going, but I was invested, and I thought everyone did a great job, from directing to acting, just in general. I thought it was a pretty good movie. I had a lot of fun with it. I would highly recommend this for like a Mother's Day watch to all you mothers out there. Happy early Mother's Day. But yeah, so for me, I'm gonna give this 4 stars. So yeah, I'll see you in Disneyland.
There you go. Well, I am lower at 2.5, but there is an audience for this.
And I'm with you. 2.5 out of 5 for me as well.
I'm closer to Pugs. I'm a 3.5. So, because this is one I definitely would watch again. But like you said, like with my mom or my wife or something like that.
I think me and Dan were just totally tainted that we saw For the Sake of Vicious before this. Because... when October comes, we definitely need to review that. That is a fucking hell of a home invasion movie.
I'm in for that.
Definitely. I have it on Blu-ray. I've had that for a little while, actually.
Yeah, I watched it on Shudder recently. I was like, because I think you brought it up on our top 10 show or something like that.
Oh, I might have name dropped it. It wasn't in my top 10.
No, but... you probably put it on your honorable mentions, though, and I just remembered that and was like, fuck it. Let me throw it on Shudder. And I was like, wow, this was way better than I ever thought it was going to be. So yeah, we definitely need, it takes place on Halloween. So maybe we'll review it closer to that time period.
Absolutely. So, all right, moving on to our next film tonight, which is one that I've been very excited about since I think we did it on one of our trailer reaction shows, while back, and that is You Won't Be Alone, from writer-director Goran Stolevski. And in this one, in an isolated mountain village in 19th century Macedonia, a young girl is kidnapped and then transformed into a witch by an ancient spirit. All right, Kruger, what did you think about You Won't Be Alone? Because I've got a lot to say about this one.
I understand, like, I've seen a lot of high praise for this movie out online, and I totally get it. Just for me, there was a lot of stuff with the story where it's set up really well, and I was really interested to see where it goes, and then the story becomes more of a metaphorical type of thing, talking more along the lines of, like, gender roles and the way women get treated in that time period, and just it goes through a lot of shit, and I was more interested in the actual story playing out than it going that metaphorical route. But I will say there's moments of body horror that were pretty strong, and some homages to the movie Teeth, that if you'll watch this movie you'll get what I'm talking about, that, you know, definitely didn't make this, you know, unpleasant watch or anything. I just I wanted more horror and not more drama, and it really, I feel like, goes more into the dramatic pieces of the story than it does like a true horror film. But at the same time, it is powerful in a certain sense. And it's not a bad movie. It's just, it's not exactly like something I would rewatch. But watching it, you know, for the one time, I think, it, you know, it didn't waste my time or anything like that. It's just, it's going to be a very split audience. And I feel like it kind of, it had me with certain aspects and then it didn't. And so I'm kind of split on it myself because, like I said, there's some gore and some like body horror that really is kind of fucking nasty. And it got me and I was like, oh, this is all right, here we go. But then it would slow back down and then you're kind of just brooding along with the story. And I wasn't into it the times that it slowed down. And I don't think it's a very well-paced movie, at least for the audience that is in me.
Okay. Todd, how about you?
Okay, my honest review. I started to watch it last night. Passed out 20 minutes in. Put me to sleep. Or I passed out, one or the other. I asked Kruger, should I finish it? Or what I saw is how I'm going to feel. Yeah, I didn't finish it. So I don't have a review number, but my review is it put my ass to sleep. Aww. But I knew Dan would love it in the first 20 minutes.
I figured Dan would be a big fan. So,
well, Dan does fucking love this one hard. So first, just to get this out of the way, and this is not in any way a criticism, but Noomi Rapace, not really the star of this film. There's, I guess you could call it kind of an ensemble in a way, but if you're looking for like a Noomi Rapace vehicle, this is not it. But having said that, that is in no way a criticism. This is a horror drama about belonging, finding your place in the world. It tackles all sorts of issues that if Bloom touched it, it would just be obnoxious, but it goes into gender identity, treatment of women. Oh, yeah, it's absolutely...
This would 100% be a Blumhouse movie, bro. Oh,
they
sorry.
Could never make this.
Oh, okay.
No, they would try and make it, and it would suck a fat cock.
Dan only remembers the bad ones. It's He's funny that
that's
way.
That's because there's a lot of fucking bad ones, Todd. But no, they...
You're so full of shit, but okay, continue.
Defy Bloom to make something this good. But anyways, you're right, actually, in a way. I wouldn't pitch this to Gorehounds, yet at the same time, it's one of the gorier films I've watched recently.
All right, hold up. No, you're going a little too far. It's not gory. It has everything's off screen, bro. It's like super implied. There's a couple of small sequences where you actually see things, but there's a lot of stuff that you see off screen that would have been more powerful if you actually saw the gore to it. And we can get into that in spoilers, but do not tell Gorehounds to watch this because
I'm not. I'm saying it's not for Gorehounds, but the gore is there for me. There's also a shit ton of nudity too, but not particularly titillating. But no, I mean, it's really just about a feral woman, witch, who's learning what it is to be human. And she's, you know, constantly followed by this specter of the witch who her mom had made the deal that she would be able to get when she's 16. They have the falling out. And then that's kind of your story. She's just, not to give too much away, but living these different lives and slowly discovering what it is to be human. In a weird way, this movie made me think of Jodie Foster and Nell. Although you have the different performances in this, but I thought everybody was really amazing. And this is a Finnish film, I believe. So I'm not too familiar with their folklore, but man, this is an excellent folk horror film that, you know, if it weren't coming from Focus Features, I could easily see it on another folk horror set. It goes great with that.
And I think that's my thing. I'm just over the whole folk horror thing.
You've said that in the past.
Yeah, and that's why I knew if I keep watching, that's why I was like,
Have you seen Hag Azusa?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Todd.
Did we review it?
You did. You didn't like it.
Okay, fair enough. If I remember. That's kind of like been the pinnacle of this whole folk or horror, you know, renaissance that we've been in. Like, I love that fucking movie. I think The Witch, you know, The Witch definitely has things that are really great about it. But there's just parts that make me just wish things get more visceral anytime I watch one. That's why I love Hagazusa, because Hagazusa just doesn't give a fuck. They show you everything, and they don't hold back at all.
Yeah, you wouldn't say the pace is a lot slower in Hagazusa.
No, not really. You have that mom doing that shit to her daughter in the first, like, 10 minutes. I mean, that's pretty fucking... come on. That's enough of a, you know, hook to where you're like, okay, what the fuck is going on? This starts off strong too. I think it's just where in the middle where we're kind of watching the main character go through these different people, you know, these different identities, if you will. That wasn't as interesting as the beginning of the movie was for me. Like, this setup, you have this nasty, decrepit witch, Freddy Krueger looking bitch.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, no, and the makeup's amazing. And, you know, one thing I'll say, does not hold back on the Kinder drama either. Like, you know, you see, like, little kids getting, you know, cut open in this fucking movie and shit like that. It pulled me in right away. I just feel like the pacing, like, maybe if they would have tightened things up a little bit and it wasn't almost a 2-hour long movie, and we didn't spend as much time as we did with certain people that, you know, when she goes into the various identities, I think there's a lot of downtime in this movie, and that's where people can get bored.
Well, yeah, some people will absolutely get bored. Just like, look, I love The Witch, and I've recommended The Witch and had people tell me it was boring as shit, and I think The Witch is a modern masterpiece. It'll be the same with this, but I still think this is...
I would say The Witch is better paced than this movie, in the middle at least.
Yeah, I'm very curious to get everybody's thoughts. I know this one's pretty new now, and not a lot of people
divisive
movie. It'll be on a lot of top 10 lists next year.
Well, depending on who you are, is
well, yeah, I'm just saying there will be a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm not the only one over this wave of folk horror.
No, I get that too.
It's a taste thing. Yeah, absolutely.
But I like the old folk horror. This wave after The Witch, everyone just was trying to be that, and it's just not interesting to me.
I get it. I mean, I definitely get it. I wish, like, there are certain things that you tweak about this movie and you make me love it. But where it holds back in certain areas is what bothers me. Like, this could easily, like, there's people online that are questioning if this is a horror movie or not. And there's areas where you could have fucking definitely not even put any area of question. Like, if you would have showed more gore, showed more visceral things going on, you definitely could have easily had people not worried about it being a horror movie or not. But I think the approach that they take, where they show some stuff, but some stuff is completely off screen and it's very brief. I think if they would have, you know, put more into it and just showed more fucked up shit going on, it would have been... It would have pertained to the horror fan better. And you wouldn't have had that question. And I see that a lot now, though, like, especially with folk horror. There's a lot of people that, you know, I'll look at Letterboxd or IMDb and stuff, and people will be questioning, well, I don't think this is necessarily a horror movie or not. And, you know, that truly is all subjective. But I think when you are making a horror movie, you're sought out to go into that genre. There's certain things you can do to make people not even fucking question. It's like Hereditary. Like, you don't question that's a horror movie or not for one scene alone.
And you can call it a horror, you can call it drama. For me, this one, it's a lot of things, but it is fantastic. Todd, I figured... Well, no, you didn't get to that part. I was going to say there is 19th century Todd. This is one of the male characters, but
20th century Todd would take care of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just, everything beginning to end, I thought this movie was beautiful. I thought it was paced for me very well. It is a question of what you like. And yeah, certainly it'll be all over the place for people. But goddamn, it's one of the best movies I've watched this year. And I've said that a lot recently. So it's shaping up. It's not 2020 level yet, where it's like every week it seems we were watching something fantastic. But
The more I do this show, it's funny because like there'll be years where you think like they're weak, and I'll be like, oh, this is the best year ever. And now like this year, I'm like, oh, this has been kind of a weak year for me. And you're like, fuck, I've had so much shit I love. I mean, that's the beauty about doing a podcast with so many different people. Varying opinions. But yeah. Without further ado, why don't we rate this and move on to the next one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, I'll go for it because I don't think it's going to be a surprise with me.
I'm a 3 out of 5. And, you know, I would be willing to give this another watch down the road, but I don't think that's going to be anytime soon, maybe in a year or so. And I need something to watch. I'll be like, all right, let me give this a shot again. Maybe it'll be different this time. And there's movies where I fucking 100% the first time I've watched them, I didn't really care for them that much. And then the second time I was like, fuck, this is amazing. What the fuck were you thinking, you idiot? I mean, Mandy alone, that's become one of my favorite movies of all time. The first time I watched it, I thought it was good, but not anything fantastic. And then watching it again and again and again over time, I loved it. So right now, 3 out of 5 for me, but that's not to say that it may not change in future viewings, but they won't be anytime soon.
See, I need to rewatch Mandy for that reason because I've only watched it the one time and I was like, eh. Yeah. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It was somewhere in the middle.
I will say being high is way different.
I was thinking that's what I will have to watch it this time. my rating is next time I need to fall asleep, I'm throwing it on.
Well, yeah, this one, like I said, it's disturbing. It tugs at the heartstrings for me. I just think it's an amazing film, beautiful in every way. I am 5 stars on You Won't Be Alone. I loved it. But yeah, like as always, even if you think it's a piece of shit, please weigh in the comments. That helps engagement too. So like, even if you're listening live later on, you want to post like your review, we love that. We will read them. We read all the comments, so we'd appreciate that very much. So moving on to the next film, which I know, I feel it in my bones that it's going to be Kruger's favorite of the entire year, maybe the last decade. I think he's going to be a massive fanboy for this film, but we'll see. So this is from writer, director, Jane Schoenbrunn. And in this one, We're All Going to the World's Fair is the movie. That helps, doesn't it? And in this film, alone in her attic bedroom, teenager Casey becomes immersed in an online role-playing horror game wherein she begins to document the changes that may or may not be happening to her. Kruger, I feel it. You love it.
Yeah, I was really hyped when I watched this trailer just because anytime I see a creepypasta get adapted in any way, I'm usually very interested because some of them I've read have been really fucked up. I wasn't familiar with this one specifically, so that may be a reason why I didn't love it. But man, this was just a fucking disappointment to me. First off, just being with this this teenager and going throughout the movie, I feel like this is another one where, like, why the fuck do you not just make this a screen life or found footage movie? Because at times, I mean, you have found footage shots of her just chilling, you know, on the side of the road and certain, and it just doesn't flow right with the story, at least in my opinion, especially when you have the amount of movie that you have that's, you know, taking place on a webcam or something like that. And the pacing is just so slow. Like 40 minutes in, we got this tiny bit of body horror that kind of pulled me back in. But from there, it was just a shitty experience. You never really learn anything about the character, at least not in depth. Like, you kind of understand who she is, and, you know, she's a very lonely person. But I don't think you ever learn enough about her to really feel anything, which made this whole experience just fucking kind of dreadful. And, you know, the story just drags on, and you expect this big finale in the final act, and you're terribly wrong. It just never gets there. And never gets any more interesting than it does in that one scene 40 minutes in. And, you know, towards the end of the movie, the girl says, you know, I'm just going to disappear and nobody's going to know what happened to me. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, if that only happened an hour and fucking 20 minutes earlier, we could have just not wasted this time at all. And that's how I feel. Like, it was a real disappointment. And not anything I'd recommend to anybody. I can see certain people liking it, but just for me, it's a case where the trailer looked great and I was super excited for this movie. And then watching the movie play out, it's just like, man, should have just stuck with the trailer.
What did you think, Todd?
I'm pretty much with Kruger. I'm actually surprised. I guess
you didn't fall asleep during this, you son of a bitch.
I did watch them back to back. I should say that. This one was first, obviously. The trailer had me intrigued, but this one and the payoff, another one. I want to say it was 80 minutes, and it just felt like it was 2 hours, and I felt like I wasted my time on it. Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, all right. So this one's going to be a complicated review for me. So I'm not super well versed in creepypasta. I have followed it a little bit. I think I've joked about this before, but my nieces and nephew years ago were terrified of Slender Man. So naturally, I fucked with them because that's what an asshole uncle does. And I came up with all of these different things about Slender Man to freak them out. So Slender Man and the Russian sleep experiments, which is, I think we've referenced that before. What a movie that would make, at least what I've seen of it. But so, yeah, I know a lot of people are calling this a creepypasta horror film, and I don't have a ton of insight to any specific things they may have been referencing. I know friend of the show Sam at Chibi Jeebies said that there's a lot of Slender Man stuff in here that I must not remember. It's a coming of age horror film. I think the lead actress, who this was her first film, Anna Cobb, who plays Casey, I actually thought she was fantastic. Now, there's a few moments where you might look at it and think, oh, that's kind of goofy or she's overacting. I think in terms of portraying mental illness, she actually did a really good job. The problem with this movie is really not a lot happens. There is no big finale. It's not really building towards anything. It's a lot of her just, well, number one, being ignored by her father, there's not a whole lot of that. You hear his voice at one point. She's essentially just alone in front of a computer screen for most of the movie, walking somewhere, it looks like in the Midwest, just this, maybe not the Midwest, it might be rural New York or something like that. This lonely town. You get some cameos from a few people that I recognized actually during the computer, the portion of it where people are talking about the video. I saw Nick Spheres, who's a horror YouTuber on there, and a few others that I recognized. It's really just about a lonely girl and her routine with this horror game. It's not scary to me, and that might just be me as a 36-year-old who didn't really grow up with the whole creepypasta thing. Maybe that's going to connect better with others.
Not really. I grew up with it. It didn't.
Yeah, you're younger, so yeah. it for me, it, like I said, I've glanced at a few videos that were cool, but that's about the gist of it.
I mean, there's certain stories that like definitely are worth adapting, but again, maybe like this is just one of them that I never had read. Maybe if I did, I would enjoy it more, but from the looks of it, I mean, there's definitely more interesting creepypastas you could have went with.
Yeah.
At least just for the entertainment value. Like, I get the slow, brooding, eerie feeling of just this lonely girl in front of a computer screen. But when I watch a horror movie, I want a little bit more than that. I want a little bit more than just, you know, feeling this loneliness of this girl. I don't think this movie ever accomplished anything more than just getting this kind of eerie feeling, but
she felt authentic.
Like, well, no, she's definitely, she's definitely like the acting and her performance definitely felt authentic, like you said. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else she's going to be in. I just feel like there's certain things with this movie. Like, if they would have just made it a full on Scream Life movie, do you get what I mean? When I'm talking about when we get these shots of her just walking, you know, down the, just this field and stuff like that. I feel like that stuff really takes you out of the experience of feeling like this is a found footage movie, and it would have worked better as a found footage movie.
It's a very quiet, personal film. I know this was actually based on the director's experience talking to somebody in an AOL chat room whose boyfriend claimed to be a vampire. So it's kind of like based on some of these actual online, not that you see that in this movie or anything, but
that sounds more interesting than anything we got in the movie.
The director could certainly do a more direct adaptation.
Man, like I want to see this guy that fucking thinks he's a vampire and what his daily life is. I think that's more interesting than watching this lonely teen girl with mental illness that's, you know, stabbing herself with a pen on in front of her computer.
I like the idea of just showing social media's effect on humanity, particularly young people like this, because I think I know people like this that are not, you know, that young, but I know people like this in there that are closer to my age that are just really dangerously caught up in it.
Yeah, but I think that's more to say about mental illness. It's kind of like the video
pandemic isolation too, for sure.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I mean, again, I think it stems into mental illness. I feel like it's the same argument to where, like, okay, fucking social media can be really bad for somebody, just like video games can be really bad for a certain type of psychopath. You know what I mean? Oh, like, sure. The video games themselves aren't what's bad, but it, you know, it mixing with other things of mental illness is what can catalyst into something catastrophic.
Absolutely. And I actually wanted to see more from the JBL actor as well. I thought like his emotional, his, not that one, unfortunately. He would probably,
that one I would have
different JBL, different JBL.
Clotheslines this bitch, movie's done.
But I loved his acting towards the end, and it's definitely a movie that leaves you wanting more. I was like, okay, I would have liked to have seen more with that relationship, and obviously he was kind of like the father figure, but you don't get a whole lot of development there. Most of it really is just following this. Most people are going to fucking hate this. I would not recommend it to most horror fans. I do think the art house crowd, though.
Oh, yeah. They'll like this bullshit.
Which I like. Well, see, that's the thing. I like art house stuff, but it depends. It's not like
I do too, thing. Though. Like, dude, like fucking Mandy is totally art house, you know. Bullshit. I mean, but it doesn't forget it's a horror film too, and that's kind of where I sit in most of this stuff. Is like even stuff like The Lighthouse or, you know, Midsommar. Like, there's moments where it reminds you, hey, I'm a horror movie. I'm not just this art house movie that's here just for substance. Like, there's something going on here, and I feel like why there is something, you know, going on, it's more implied, and it's not story driven, and it doesn't ever give you that moment of, oh, or, you know, the shock that you want when you're watching a horror movie.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, the fact, I mean, this one I will say straight up, if you're listening to this show, 99% of you are probably going to fucking hate this movie. I'm being honest. I also wanted to say it was actually produced by the director of Green Knight, which was kind of cool. But it's a
I got to rewatch Green Knight. It's one of those where a
lot of people wanted a different movie. I
guess. No, I did too, but it's kind of similar to You're Not Alone or whatever we talked about earlier. It's like it's on the borderline of where I like it, but it doesn't go to the places that I necessarily want it to. But that is weird that he produced this.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'd like to see more from the director.
More from the main actress too.
Yeah, the main actress, absolutely. I absolutely put over her performance. There's different things being said, but I think it was very authentic. Like very, very authentic. I think she put some work into it, and I think you know, I could easily see her being a star down the line. We'll see. It's her first film, but yeah, there's bits and pieces that I liked. And I'm going to be a lot more generous than I think most of you. Will I watch this again? No. Is this a movie that I feel like, oh, you got to watch it again to get it? No. But you may still want to check it out if you really like arty stuff. Hayden, if you're listening to this show, I would recommend this one to you. I think you might like it. Can't think of anybody else in the community. For me, it's 2 stars.
I'm a 1.5 out of 5.
Okay. Well, that's nicer than I thought.
No, yeah. like I said, I didn't hate it. It's just we have a strong setup, and then it never goes anywhere. So, Todd?
Yeah, I liked Anna Cobb, but that was about it. I think this would have played better, and I know we said this on a few other things. This would have been played much better as a short. I don't think all this time to tell this story at all.
Yeah, if this was a short, like on the anthology... Yeah, for sure. I'm with you.
Absolutely. All right. So, moving on, we've got The Feast next, which is one that I've wanted to talk about for a while, actually. So, I'm excited to... I've wanted to watch it for a while, I should say. And The Feast is a Welsh horror film that follows from director Lee Haven-Jones. It's a Welsh horror film that follows a young woman serving privileged guests at a dinner party in a remote house in rural Wales. The assembled guests do not realize they're about to eat their last supper. All right. So The Feast.
We should mention real quick, it is streaming on Hulu.
Yep. Yeah, streaming on Hulu now. So yeah, that's the best way to check it out if you have Hulu. So, all right. So this is a movie I'm going to say first off, pay attention to it. I've heard from a few people that I don't think watched it closely that didn't understand what's going on. It's not that complicated, really, No. But it's not a multitasking movie because I've had a couple friends that watched it and asked me, like, they had no idea what was going on. It's not that ambiguous, really, if you watch it.
A couple of things, though. If you miss something, you're going to be like, oh.
If you go take a leak, rewind it, for sure. Yeah. But, yes, so you get the setup with Caddy, played by Annis Elwy, who is sort of the assistant maid for this family's big dinner, and you can tell there's something mysterious about her with the family. Kind of everybody's kind of a pretentious piece of shit in different ways. The dad is just totally checked out with what's going on with his family. Same thing with Glenda, the mom. You have Guto, who's the drug addicted son. Then you have Gwirid, who's the weird, very fucked up son, and their guests.
They're both pretty fucked up. To be
they're
honest.
Both pretty fucked up. But Gwirid, yeah, there's some revelations. Gwirid's got some issues that Dr. Phil ain't gonna cure anytime soon. So another one, very very quiet, takes its time. But this does build to some fucked up shit.
Oh,
I'm gonna say this had one of the for me one of the more gross gore moments involving maggots.
Oh yeah, dude, the maggots. Yeah. The two things about this, all I'll say about this movie, literally, I wouldn't need to say anything else. Maggots and broken glass. What the actual fuck?
Oh man, yeah, and I really liked, and it's not that I'm particularly familiar with Welsh mythology, but this movie makes me want to learn about it. It is based on the myth of, sorry if anybody, any Welsh person watches this show, I'm probably saying this wrong, but Blodeuwedd. It's based on that Welsh myth.
Cancel Dan, he said it wrong.
I think I might have nailed it. You can, if you're Welsh, you can weigh in the comments if I'm killing your culture there. But yeah, pretty simple. And I mean, I don't want to give it away. Obviously, people die in really fucking horrific ways. No reason to give that part of it away, except to just say pay attention, because it's all there. And I loved it. I actually had a really good time with this movie from beginning to end. I think the actress that plays Caddy, who has very little dialogue, says a lot with her eyes. She is a force to be reckoned with in this film. I could see a lot of people saying, like, well, why do I care about any of these people? And that might be a good point.
It's not about that, though.
It's not. No, it's definitely not. And boy, they suffer. Again, I don't want to call this like a gore fest, but there's perfect. When it hits, it smacks you right in the goddamn face.
There's things where this movie goes to places that others wouldn't. And that's what I really respect about it. I mean, I'm with you. I fucking love this goddamn movie. I'm shocked that I didn't see this on anybody's top fucking 10 of 2021. Because this has been out for a bit. And it's been out on Hulu at least a few months. And I believe it was released before then. And
I think it might. Well, depending how you count it, this one might count this year.
When I looked it up, it was released last year.
Okay.
Right. This movie I think is fucking fantastic. It has a little something, I think, for everybody. Has a lot for the art house, you know, horror fans. But it also delivers, you know, in certain aspects of the gore and just fucked upness. The folklore aspect of the story really plays out nicely, especially in the final act. And again, you really do need to pay attention to what's going on so that all sits right in your head. But I was glued to the screen with this damn thing, just because I don't know what it is, but anytime I have a setting where there's this big dinner being, you know, made, I don't know what it is, but it really catches my attention with the movie, like with stuff like Cheap Thrills and just a lot of movies that we see that similar setting play out. And then it just, this fucked up dinner gets worse and worse and worse. And I mean, this movie totally like plays into that perfectly. I mean, it escalates so well throughout it. And like I said, the broken glass thing, the way that plays out towards the end, you're like, holy fuck. Like, that is just really disturbing and just really well done. I absolutely adored this fucking thing. I was shocked that I liked it as much as I did, because reading up on it, I just heard like this is vegan horror. So, like, going in, I was like, oh, this is just going to fucking suck.
But I guess you could say that.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's vegan horror, considering the people that were farming Akka, using their animals for meat and other things, didn't have bad things happen to them. But overall, like, yeah, it's a fucking awesome movie. If you read up that it's vegan horror, don't let that deter you. It never, you know, is in your face about shit like that. And it's
plenty of meat.
Yeah. Plenty of meat. And just, I mean, I guess it does kind of play into that a little bit, but when you see the ultimate destination of everybody, it's not like all meat eaters fucking get murdered in this movie. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's just a fucking good time. It's on Hulu too. So go check that shit out tonight. Seriously. I think it's underrated, and I'm shocked that more people aren't talking about it.
I feel the most fucked up brother. I feel like that would make a great wrestling gimmick. Just that singlet, and just that dude would be fucking creepy. Maybe the rebrand Dexter.
You would need it.
I can see Dan wearing it for sure.
All right, fucking let's go, Dan. Fucking we need you eating raw meat and on the elliptical ASAP. Patreon contact. I do get what you mean though. It could work. You need a lot of backstage promos though.
I don't know why that made me think of a story about Insane Clown Posse behind it at WWE at Raw, I believe. And the first person they meet backstage is Goldust. And they walk in, they say hi, and he just looks up and just goes, "I eat poop." And then he just walks away. That's the gimmick there. So, all right. Yeah. So anyways, Todd? On that note, the more you know.
Todd.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I did really like this one. I wasn't sure going in, but I think it delivered like in ways I wasn't expecting. So it's definitely one I will recommend. And we have Pugs.
The Feast, streaming on Hulu. Very, very weird and uneasy and awkward. It kind of felt like Stoker, if y'all know that movie. It was fucking gnarly. It's a slow, not really slow pace, but it's a slow build to a gigantic, I don't want to oversell it either, a slow build to something really, really cool and climactic, and I really didn't expect that it to go in that route, so I liked that a lot. Acting was fucking superb. I watched it in its original language. Dan, save your fucking bullshit. Don't shame me for doing that. I don't do dubbed. What else? Beautifully shot. It's uneasy. And I did like that movie quite a bit. I don't have any spoilers, but for me, we'll go 3.5 out of 5 stars. It's really good, and I would recommend watching it.
Sweet.
Thank you, Pugs. I'm a little bit higher than him. I'm a 4 out of 5. And it's, even though it didn't necessarily get released this year, it's definitely one of my favorite movies I've watched all year. So check it out on Hulu. Fucking it again, you don't even need to pay for this shit. So this is a perfect night to just throw it this is a perfect movie to take a chance on.
Yes. Subtitles forever, by the way, Pugs.
No, we know you're a dubbed guy, Dan. We've already gone over this.
I don't watch anything. I don't even remember how it started.
Come on, Dan. Don't make me subtitles. Mute you. Just move along, Mr. Dubbed.
Go fuck yourself. I am 4.5 stars. I love this movie. It's a good week
overall. I'm actually with Pugs. I'm a 3.5, but I feel like this has room to grow.
Yeah, I already, like, after watching it, and just no, because I had watched it and told everybody on the show, I was like, yeah, we definitely need to review this shit. After already seeing that and watching it the first time, I've wanted to watch it multiple times, and I hope we get a fucking Blu-ray. I doubt it. There's a lot of this straight to Hulu shit that fucking isn't getting Blu-rays nowadays, like Gaia, even though I think that may have a German one, but
it has a DVD at least.
But there's a German 4K of that too.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna need to get that, but like, hopefully, fingers crossed, somebody fucking puts this out eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, well, I guess we'll move on to the main event, one that we were looking forward to for a very long time, well, and that is
Dan is not speaking for all of us because Dan had the balls on his chin for so long. I was not looking forward to this. Well, proceed, fuck you, Dan.
God, son of a bitch.
I'm giving you a little teaser of my thoughts.
God damn it, Todd. All right. So from director Robert Eggers, in my opinion now, the master, Robert Eggers, not even the horror master, the cinema master, Robert Eggers, comes The Northman, an action-filled epic that follows a young Viking prince on his quest to avenge his father's murder. All right. So, yeah, looking forward to this one for a long time. Kruger, I'm gonna let you go first, but before I do, I just want to say, can't remember who asked me, but the actor who played the villain, Claes Bang, was also Dracula in that miniseries on Netflix.
Oh, that one that I've heard a lot about. I'm actually interested to see that. It's on my list. I've heard a lot of people praise it, but
Yeah, there's its fans.
I'm sure it's no Dracula 3D, so we'll just
it's very different.
Okay, that. No praying mantis. I don't want to watch it. So,
but
yeah, fair enough.
So go all for right. it, Kruger.
Yeah. So Robert Eggers, The Lighthouse, is literally like one of my favorite fucking films that's came out in the last 20 years. I absolutely adore that movie. So going into, and I love The Witch too, not as much as The Lighthouse, but going into this, I had some extremely high expectations, and goddamn, man, everything was really fucking met for me. This is almost like a brutal retelling of The Lion King with fucking Vikings. I mean, that's really my best way of describing this movie. I mean, the principle and like the big parts of the Lion King story, I feel like are all there, especially with the final act too. Maybe the Lion King, Star Wars Episode 3 a little bit. It just, man, this was so fucking fun. First off, this is a pretty long movie and there wasn't a second I felt dragged throughout this thing. I was just completely invested and immersed in the story. The gore and the blood is fucking just awesome. And, you know, it's pretty tasteful, I think, too. It's not over the top, but the moments that are there are very, very fucking brutal and just really satisfying. And there's also like a couple of other horror elements that are tossed in there. I mean, this is by no means is a horror movie, but you could definitely tell Robert Eggers likes his horror films, and he made it show in the gore and certain aspects of the story. And Anya Joy-Taylor, fucking phenomenal. Alexander Skarsgård, phenomenal too. But really, Anya is starting to impress. Like, I'm telling you, that chick is going to be the biggest fucking thing, I think, in just fucking cinema in the next few years. I mean, she can act, she can sing, she can dance. I think she's a fucking phenomenal goddamn talent.
Easy on the eyes, too, even when she's bloody.
And also, props to her. We don't get full nudity, but we got a lot more than I was expecting from her.
You actually do, if you look carefully, you see it all.
Yeah, but you don't
a little get bloody.
Yeah, but you don't get like, you know, a full blown titty shot or anything. But props to the, you know, the nudity that she showed, and like this is it's a grim, brutal Viking story, and that's what I was expecting, and that's what I got. My only complaint is that we did not get a Blood Eagle, but we got something in place of the Blood Eagle that was way fucking cooler. And that may, like, even though this isn't a horror movie, that's like one of the most horrific fucking things I've seen all year, and definitely one of the most badass fucking moments out of any movie I've seen all year. go see this goddamn thing on the biggest screen you can. I'm very disappointed. I couldn't see it in Dolby or anything. They just had fucking digital. But if you could see this on Dolby or even IMAX, I don't know if that's even an option, but see this on the biggest screen possible. It's an epic fucking story of epic
proportions. See it in theaters.
And you need to experience it on the biggest screen you can to get the full effect, I think. It's one that I think this is Robert Eggers' second best movie, but even second best doesn't mean it's not a goddamn masterpiece. By far one of the best films I've seen all year. It gets my stamp of approval. You want Viking fucking Lion King? This is the movie for you, and I stand by that.
Sweet. How about you, Todd?
As I said at the beginning, I wasn't looking forward to this because Dan had the balls on his chins for this movie for so long, and I am very glad to report it didn't ruin it for me, and I did enjoy it. I agree with Kruger, second best movie, and it was amazing. I loved it.
Sweet, yeah. So, much like I said with X, more of this, please, on the big screen, because this kicked all kinds of ass. You've got Robert Eggers, who the film looks just amazing. Yeah. Every single shot of it is just a thing of blood-soaked beauty. It is, like you said, just a badass, gory, nasty Viking story where even the hero does some fucked up stuff. Look, they are Vikings. He doesn't shy away from what a Viking was. This isn't the Disney version of what a Viking does. There are raids. There are people being treated very badly. Yeah. So I like that authenticity to it. And Robert Eggers is somebody that does a lot of research into the period. And I think he did a great job here.
If I could just interject for a second, too. I think he tackled those themes really well, too, because he showed everything going on, but he also showed it was wrong without it, beating you in the face of, oh, these people are so horrible, blah, blah, blah. It was just a part of the culture.
That was society
back then, you do see the after effects and why it fucked people up, too. And I think he tackled that perfectly. Because there's a way you could go about it where you could get really, PC with it. And he really didn't.
There are people bitching about how un-PC this movie is right now. So,
but I also feel like it gets the message across that, these people went through this terrible shit. It was wrong that they went through it. You got to show the grim reality of things. You know what I mean? To honestly get the true effect across. I mean, if you're not sure, for example, the Schindler's List would not fucking work if you didn't show all the fucked up shit that's in that movie.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's it's raw. You know what it made me think of? A film that I really loved as a kid, and I think it still holds up as an adult, Excalibur. Also very, for the time, very raw, very, just a great fantasy movie that doesn't seem to get the attention that it really deserves. I mean, I know it's popular, but I don't know.
It's got a strong cult following at least.
It does. I don't hear enough people talk about it, but yeah, it kind of made me think of that movie and gave me similar feels. And Alexander Skarsgård, of course, is fantastic. Always been a fan of his since True Blood. Doesn't always get the best movies. He's, Battleship. He's had a few turns, but I think he's excellent. Nicole Kidman is very good. I know a lot of people criticize her, and she was a shit Lucy, in my opinion, but she was really good in here, and she had some complicated, emotional stuff that she had to do in this movie. So I thought she was quite good. In terms of the action, I don't know if I want to say realistic, but it is a little more realistic than a lot of other movies. There's no matrix dodges of swords or anything like that. They kind of try and keep things a little more grounded, which I think works. As Kruger said, there's some very gory moments. This movie doesn't hold back, and it should be experienced on the big screen. If this is one where you're thinking like, I might wait for streaming or whatever, don't wait. This is one you should go out and see, because it really is a kick-ass film. And again, same thing as X, more of this, please. I was just very, very happy with it. It actually made me, because I started it and I never finished it for no reason. I liked it, but the Vikings TV series. I've got to go back and finally finish that damn thing.
It made me want to watch that. I've only seen a few episodes, but from what I have seen, that looks really cool. And I'm with you. Maybe when you finish it, we can cover it together.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another one I got at the dollar store recently called Viking Siege, which is like Vikings versus demons. Probably doesn't live up to the premise, but it actually looked halfway fun. So I might be on a Viking kick now because of this movie. I was very happy. I'm gonna get the 4K when it comes out. I might even see this again if it's still playing and I get a chance to go check it out in the theater again.
I was actually thinking about that today. I was like, fuck, I don't have anything going on tomorrow. Maybe I'll pop in the movie theater. I was just shocked because it was it's a very long movie. It's like 2.5 hours long.
I didn't feel it at all.
And yeah, you just you don't feel it. It doesn't really drag. It takes you on a really action-packed journey that doesn't let up from start to finish. So all of us say it gets the flesh wound recommendation. Yep.
And he's not in it long, but goddamn, how fucking insane is Willem Dafoe?
Oh, dude. There's a shot where he just pops up randomly.
He took bath salts. He had to just take bath salts and just, yeah.
I love that human being so much. And him and Robert Eggers need to work together forever. Without further ado, let's rate this monstrous film. Me personally, I can't give it any less than a 5 out of 5, man. I mean, it is truthfully one of the best fucking movies I've seen in theaters in a really long time. And just, fucking start to finish, masterpiece.
I'm a 5 as well. There is something in this film that you might be able to call ahead of time, but I don't know. It didn't matter to me. It was just fan fucking tastic. I loved it. I'll be buying the 4K. I'll be singing this from the rooftops for a while.
Better get a fucking Oscar, I swear to God.
Hey, look, I cannot see Robert Eggers constantly turning out films like this and not getting one at some point.
Yeah.
I think he'd be hard to deny. Right now, I mean, I'd say he's flawless.
Yeah.
Yes, Todd, right on the chin, and I don't fucking care.
No. Yes, Dan, but you have a history of this and it not paying off. So
I stand by
you,
it.
But you raise your standards too high, and then you get disappointed. So it was actually a good thing. I'm saying it was actually a good thing in this one.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't give it a 4 out of 5, though.
I gave it a 5 out of 5. You thought I'd go 4?
No, lower? I thought you'd give it 4.5 out of 5. Because because A24 didn't put it out, so you were good.
Well, I think that had to do with the budget, because this is much higher budget than his previous stuff.
Don't make excuses for A24.
It feels like an expensive A24 movie.
Yeah, they fucked up not putting this shit out.
But I'm a 5 out of 5 also. Mm.
Yeah. You know, my only fear is that the budget was a little too high. I haven't even looked at box office reports, so I don't know where it's
at. I'll tell you, when I went to go see it on Thursday, which, you know, is before it's released everywhere, only certain theaters are doing that, it was fucking packed. I was like, holy shit. And then these motherfuckers are just talking about The Witch and the Lighthouse. I'm like, there's some serious Eggers fans out there. Holy goddamn. I was not expecting that. but I welcome it. I'm fucking down to be in a packed theater with Robert Eggers fans any fucking day of the week. So
yeah, yeah. So yeah, there you go. Pretty good night overall. Nothing sucked.
Nothing blasphemous.
Nothing blasphemous. And Ben said this, and I had heard this as well, that Eggers said his Nosferatu isn't happening, which is so sad. And I know in a sense he played Orlok in Shadow of the Vampire, but I would love a Willem Dafoe Nosferatu with Robert.
I thought Eggers. I saw something somewhere. It's probably bullshit, but I saw something going around the horror groups on Facebook talking about William Dafoe being casted as Nosferatu. I don't know if there's any fucking truth to that, but I do know there's a remake out there that's in pre-production, I believe.
Doug Jones, which I've been hearing about forever.
I know he's doing something. He actually just replied to somebody about that, saying, "Oh, I got my own Nosferatu thing coming out." Looking forward to that. Doug Jones is the best. Yeah. Oh my god, him and Javier, what's his name, Javier Bowden or Bodden?
Bardem.
Bardem, yeah, Javier Bardem. Doug Jones and Javier Bardem are the two best character actors, I think, of this generation. I fucking adore them, especially as creatures. Like, you can't have two better creatures on screen than those two people, I think.
Javier Bardem? Which one are you talking about?
Bowden, maybe. He was in Crimson Peak with fucking Doug Jones.
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Bardem's Ricky and Lucy movie.
That's why I said Bolton and you said Bardem, motherfucker.
I got confused. I thought the same thing.
Although Bardem would be good under makeup in anything, too, if he wanted
He's another great character actor, too, that does a lot of character work, too.
Oh, yeah.
Not the faux level.
Perdita Durango. So fucking good.
Oh, I have that on 4K.
Man, are you going back to your old habits of any time a movie's brought up, I own it.
Fuck you, Todd. I got a flex.
I'm gonna let it go because it's your birthday.
Do you own the fetus that Severin came out with? The little baby fetus?
Dan doesn't.
The fetus? Oh, you mean like the merch? No.
Yeah, then what kind of fucking goddamn Perdita Durango fan are you, Dan?
Right? Not the top fan because I don't have the fetus. So.
I'm pissed. I wanted to buy the goddamn fetus to put it up here, and fucking, it was sold out by the time I got to it. I bet you'd
trade in the finger for
it. Oh, totally. I would totally trade in the finger from 29 Needles for the fucking fetus from Perdita Durango. But
somebody may make that trade with you.
Hey, if you're out there and you want to trade a fetus for this shitty finger that was up someone's ass, let me know.
Maybe it was Dan's. You never know.
That's
my I got to ask, because this is the first A24 film that Dan may hate because it has annoying girls in it. Has everyone watched the Bodies trailer?
Oh, my God, dude.
Not yet. I'm sure I need to.
Pause. Should we just watch it?
Yeah.
Well, let's just react to it now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what.
I wait to watch trailers now for when we do a trailer reaction. So, I mean, I see it in the theater.
I was so hype, I couldn't wait. And then fucking seeing the poster, too. The poster's so disappointing. Looks like a bunch of fucking... you guys remember the video on YouTube, Annoying Orange? Looks like a bunch of annoying orange eyes in the dark. It's so stupid looking. I'm strong! Full screen, that shit. Yeah. It's lagging, Todd.
Who wants to play Bodies?
Todd?
Does anybody have service?
Is it not playing for you guys too?
It was lagging a little, so you can
we'll give it one more shot. If not,
yeah, we'll try. We'll try it.
I'm strong.
Lagging. Yeah. Yeah, it's still lagging. Well, then.
Okay, well.
Well, if that was anticlimactic, kind of, but we'll check it out.
Kind of, well, no, if you guys be it, if you guys be us for a minute, I'll get it going.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
No,
cool.
So,
well, yeah, A24, I mean, I'll try anything. So,
well, A24 slasher. I mean, they already put out a good one. So, I'm not, you know, opposed to something like that. I'm not the biggest Pete Davidson fan, but the fact that he's in a slasher movie, I mean, that could be fun. His goofy personality probably could play out well. But I don't know. Just having a whodunit slasher, it's very rare that they work for me as well as they do in like something like Scream or, you know, some of the bigger franchises like Urban Legend 2. Like, I love that movie. Fucking Cherry Falls kind of falls into there too. Most of the more modern stuff that isn't Scream, I find kind of more annoying than not. I just watched this movie, Student Body, that came out this year, which was a whodunit slasher. It was like fucking the most uninteresting version you could possibly have of Famine, from Ryan Nicholson. Like, Famine, you know, is balls to the wall, gory as fuck. It's stupid, you know, at times. We have a fucking character named Mr. Ballsack, for fuck's sake. But it's a great fucking time if you're a slasher fan, just for the gore and just goofiness alone. And Student Body is like sucking all that fucking good shit out of it and putting in the same setting and just being like, fucking, well, Scream came out this week, so we're going to put this movie out. Yeah, it was pretty ass. But there hasn't been that many good slashers this year. Outside of X.
I mean, the thing, though, about, like, again, watch the trailer, but, like, something like Men, if that weren't coming out through A24, I'd probably look at that trailer and think, I mean, like I said, literally, if that were Bloom, I would be like, oh, fuck, please don't ask to review it, Todd. It's A24.
Because of that, I know, see, that's, you shouldn't even watch everything they do.
It's probably awesome. We should do an A24 tier at some point.
This is my problem with the A24 Dans. They just balls deep.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You guys fucking cock ride way too many fucking movies.
Put a lot of great movies out.
There's some, like, trust me, fucking, like I already said, The Lighthouse and fucking Midsommar are two of my goddamn favorite fucking movies that have come out in the last 20 years. That being said, not all of that shit is fucking fantastic.
Well, like, it's not all horror either, but...
No, but the times that they are up to the horror plate, it isn't all fantastic, I don't think. I think it's about 50-50. There's times where you'll get something that's amazing, and there's times where you'll think something's amazing going in and it'll be disappointing.
Maybe we do A24 versus Bloom head-to-head.
That's so fucking stupid, because it's like, oh, let me put fucking Universal...
Best of the best versus the best of the best. I'm not talking about taking like some shitty Bloom movie.
That's dumb, because A24 is obviously going to get better. Or better reviews.
Depends who votes on it. Depends. No. I mean,
I think that's just some shit that you're gonna jerk off to later and fucking make yourself feel more dignified or something. But
I mean, I would, but
yeah. All right, Todd. Bodies, bodies, bodies. Fucking. There we go.
There we go. Anymore, what comes along, I got good friends. We'll stay together.
Who wants to play bodies, bodies, bodies?
Yes!
Oh my god!
Does anybody have service?
Quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I'm a hot girl. Rich girl.
Guys, I get so stressed out every time we play this. Someone always ends up crying.
So how do you play?
And I come in different flavors.
If you draw the piece of paper that has the X on it,
you are the murderer.
Everyone else has to avoid being killed.
What is that?
Xanax, do you want one?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Our friend is dead. So if you could just, like,
not escalate the situation, then
I'm not escalating. You're holding the knife and you're moving your hands while you talk.
That would be so fucking obvious if I were the killer.
David.
More.
You're always gaslighting me.
You fucking trigger me.
You are so toxic. Relax, relax. You're silencing me.
Is that all you got, motherfucker?
Shoot me?
I can't believe you're making this about you. What are the features that you're bringing?
Well, I just look like I fuck. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I look like I fuck. And that's the vibe I like to put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that definitely looks like it could have came from Blumhouse.
Yeah, it does.
Like more than I've seen anything that they've like any
by the trailer,
like,
definitely. Yeah. Did Pete Davidson's mom fuck a weasel? Because he literally looks like some weasel human hybrid. I don't really know enough about him to have this hate for him, but his look, I guess I kind of get it.
He's just a druggy comedian. I mean,
not that funny from what I've seen. I'll be honest. I know some people love him.
He has some moments. I think the reason why everybody has a hard on for him is that King of Staten Island movie.
That was decent. Yeah.
But, I mean, props. I mean, he's fucking Kim Kardashian and sending pictures to Kanye West in his bed after dicking down his ex-wife. So, I mean, that's some pretty gangster shit. But outside of that, I mean, I was pretty happy he got taken out really fast in the Suicide Squad. Watching his head explode, that was fucking the highlight of his career for me.
Some of the moments Dan was loving are those have to be in the trailer on purpose. They know what they're doing with every, like, literally, like, every buzzword they throw in, like, the span of, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be like Texas Chainsaw, I think. Everybody's, oh, fuck this stupid woke movie. And it's like, nah, it's putting the big fuck you to all the woke people throughout this whole thing. And there's people that still don't get that, which I think is fucking hilarious to me.
Yeah.
It's like, how is this not how is this woke in any fucking sense of the form? It's literally killing all the woke people for being woke. What the fuck? And hey, if this fucking movie can accomplish that, I'm two thumbs up. Like, Texas Chainsaw is still my favorite movie I've seen all fucking year. So if this movie can do what that did for me, I'm fucking in.
You don't like The Northman more?
No. Mm-hmm. It's my second favorite movie I've seen all year. Texas Chainsaw.
I was going to say X would be, that would be my.
I gave X 4 stars.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, that's true. I forgot.
I wasn't as impressed as everybody else was. But
I don't get it. Here's totally off topic. Not really. I don't get everyone like throwing Anna Jay over for Mia Goth. I don't get it. Because one is like a great actress. Mia Goth is good, but she's no Anna Jay.
Oh, you're talking acting or looks right now? Acting?
Technically, I'm talking both, but
Tell you what. Mia Goth may be hot in X. Outside of X, I don't know. But in X, as that character, all about her. Anya Joy-Taylor, I think she's just a goddamn stunning. Like, she doesn't even look human. That's the
she
type
has
of
unique looks.
That's the type of fucking chick that if you're in this fantasy story, you find this little motherfucker like walking around the woods with fucking pixie dust and shit. That's what Anya Joy-Taylor is. Like, she's a fucking different type of a different breed of woman when it comes to like attractiveness.
She looks like she's hiding her elf hair somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I would give that pixie a beard ride for sure.
God damn.
Dan, you're not on your other shows ranking women. That's not okay here. We're pro women.
I would give her a very respectful beard ride.
No, Dan.
A beard ride is not fucking. Stop.
Dan.
Free beard ride shirts coming soon.
Oh, boy. All right.
And if any of you ladies out there need a beard, see Dan.
There you go. Do we got spoilers tonight?
I don't.
No, I don't really feel a need necessarily to discuss spoilers for anything.
Other than there's just, you'll know what I'm talking about in The Northman when the fuck you see it. Happens on a hut. End of story. Fucking coolest goddamn thing I've seen all year. But yeah, fucking definitely check out The Northman in theaters while it's still out there. That's out of all the movies we've watched tonight. I think that's the one that you need to get out and go see the soonest. And when you come home, check out The Feast, because that movie is fantastic too. But yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of good. This was a good week for sure. And so just wanted to do a couple quick plugs. Undetermined exactly time wise or when, but we will have a Hatching review coming soon. Working on some scheduling. Also, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. Where we have a lot of great content. We'll have some more stuff coming soon. Yeah. All starts at just $1, and yeah, you have a good time there. We're even more raw there, unfiltered for sure. And also our Discord, which is very, very active. So get on our Discord, and yeah, also catch me on S'mores Indoors this weekend, and maybe Slaughterport. I have to look at my schedule, but definitely S'mores Indoors. And yeah, that's all I've got.
And coming soon to Patreon, Todd's inbox story, so we'll have that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think we kind of made it official. All the boys love Mandy Lane. Watch along on,
yes,
I don't know if that's so topical. Does it need to be on Patreon? We'll figure that out later.
It probably needs to be on Patreon because of what the fuck I'm going to say about that bitch.
I agree. I don't know. Mia Kruger might my head butt a little on this one. So yeah,
that'll be a Patreon special for sure. And yeah, I forgot what else I might have to
jailbreak for that one.
Also, Indy, we haven't forgotten about that Superman 3 commentary, but, you know, Ozzy got to wrangle him in. So
we got to do some more fluffing of the balls.
And yeah, exactly, exactly.
Dan's going to offer up the beard, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he might take it. I don't know. He might.
Ooh-wah!
Oh, the Veer Mahan jokes are coming now. I know you're not into current wrestling as much, Kruger, but Google Veer Mahan, because
sounds like some Jinder Mahal bullshit.
Yeah, Veer is maybe even more. I posted a poll. Veer Mahan won best hair over Ozzy, though.
Hey, so, man, I'm a Jinder Mahal fan. I'd probably like him.
You might.
Mother de Maharaja for life. All right. So we're talking wrestling. Which means
yeah, we're talking Jinder Mahal, which means we're done. All right.
How do you top that?
And oh, hey, Orc, you're catching us late, but hello nonetheless. That's all we've got.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Todd.
Good evening.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.